Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
What's that? Who pays your salary? What's that? Who pays? What's that?
We're not in a...
This is the Tyler Morgan Show on Relentless Daring Media Network.
Welcome back to Land of Bourbon and Bad Decisions. This is the Tyler Morgan Show live on twitch.tv/Tyler Morgan Show. I have to apologize. There's a little bit of a delay in getting the live stream up and running because my computer decided right as I wanted to start the live stream, it wanted to restart and do an update, so now I am officially starting like 11 minutes late. So if you're a live stream viewer, I apologize from the very bottom of my heart that it decided that it was going to take a little longer to get going than originally planned. But before I get into all that is crazy in the world of politics this week, let me talk to you about my beard care regimen. As you can see on the live stream, or if you're watching this on YouTube, I'm getting a little long and a little shaggy, but there is one thing that I do to at least keep it nice and soft and supple and, you know, help with not having in face, and that is beard oil. See, if a lot of guys, they grow their beard out, their face gets itchy, it's uncomfortable, they don't like it. Well, and they end up shaving it off. Well, there's a way to fix that, and that is to use a good quality beard oil. And the beard oil that I use is Blue Collar Beardsman. Blue Collar Beardsman is an amazing product. It is handcrafted by a small business owner here in the recesses of middle of nowhere, Missouri. Shipped across the country and providing great quality products to you. And on top of the beard oils, they also have beard butters, which again is kind of like a beard wax or something where, you know, a lot of good stuff helps give a little that same conditioning quality. It keeps your facial hair nice, soft, and supple, while also giving a little bit of hold if you want to kind of use it like a pomade and shape up your mustache, your beard, goatee, whatever you're using it on. It's a great product. I absolutely love it. Been using it for almost a year now since they started selling their stuff. It's absolutely amazing. Love the product. Love working with these guys over at Blue Collar Beardsman. Dalton and Allie are amazing. Have great products. And me being local, I also get my beard oils hand-delivered to my door. The joys of a small business. Check them out today, bluecollarbeardsman.com. All right, so getting back into the world of the craziness. This week, there's a few big things. Super Tuesday was on Tuesday. Weird how that worked. Because if your Super Tuesday is on Wednesday, then it's a little bit of a misnomer. But I digress. With the Super Tuesday election Nikki Haley just got stomped. And she won what? 2 of the 14 primaries that happened on Tuesday. She won Vermont, which no big surprise, and she won Washington, D.C. And places like Drudge Report, like anytime that there's been a primary election and you see so many people who voted for DeSantis over Haley or DeSantis over Trump, Haley over Trump. I mean, Trump still won those early primaries when he was basically running against the two of them. And Drudge would always come out with these headlines. This percentage of Republicans don't want Donald Trump. Well, yeah, I think that's true. And what some people, it's not they don't want Donald Trump, it's that they're Republicans who think that, genuinely think Haley's a better option than Trump. I'm sorry. Didn't mean to laugh. Didn't mean to. It just kind of happened. It snuck out. Or people who thought that DeSantis was a better option than Donald Trump. But yeah, after Iowa, DeSantis dropped out because he saw the writing on the wall and there was no real clear path for victory. But Nikki Haley decided that she was going to try remaining in the race because she thought she had a chance. I mean, you look down who's voting for whom in the exit polling, and like the majority of people voting for Nikki Haley are not Republicans; they are Democrats going for the Rush Limbaugh Operation Chaos plan, where in these states that have open primaries, where you can go in, you say, I want to vote on the Republican ticket. I want to ballot for the Democrat tickets. They'll give you one. They'll give you a straight ballot featuring all of those primary candidates to vote for that party, then plus whatever other ballot issues are on for the election. So, yeah, in those places that, or even the ones where you have to declare a party, not just say, I want to vote this ticket, but I'm going to register as this. They will let you change your registration day of. So you have states where you have to declare your registration as a Republican day of, so that way you can vote in the Republican primary. And then, so now you're registered Republican, but you're actually Democrat, and you'll change your party affiliation as soon as humanly possible because you don't want to get, drugged for being the opposite party. And like I said, the Operation Chaos thing was where you go in, you get the ticket for the opposite party, and you vote against the leader or the person most likely to win that nomination in order to, thin them out. Well, maybe you'll help contribute to enough of an upset for a different person on the ticket that it will pull, that in the end of it, the person that you voted for that's not the leader, you go in, you vote for whoever's running besides, Joe Biden for the Democrats. Marianne Williamson. You go vote for the Yodeler in hopes that the Yodeler will win your state, and then, those delegates do not go to Biden. That's what all that is attempting to do. And that's basically what has been happening with people voting for Nikki Haley. But fortunately, she dropped out of the race. And now people like me who, Donald Trump did do some good stuff. But you look at how he handled COVID. Now, and that's not to say, well, Donald Trump is responsible for all these people who die. Blah, 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 blah. No, I'm not saying that. Because statistically, if you look at the numbers, more people died in the first year of the Biden administration than in all of 2020. And it's not just a, well, COVID hit the United States full force in April. No, if you look at the numbers for the same time frame of when the pandemic really got rocking and rolling in the United States in 2020 through the end of the year, you go to that same starting point in 2021, there were more people dying in 2021. Considering that we had the vaccine in 2021. Now, if you get the vaccine, it'll keep you from dying. It'll keep you from getting COVID, blah, 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 and all the lies associated with COVID. And I know this is probably going to make YouTube not like me. Whatever. I'm not here to be liked on YouTube. I'm here to express my opinion, as is my First Amendment right. But yeah, when they came out with the vaccine, it's 100% effective. Yeah, 100%. It's really weird because no vaccine is 100% effective. But it comes out 100%, 99%, 96, 87, 83, 77, 60. It's 30% effective. That means you have a 1/3 shot of not getting sick once you've had the vaccine. Well, now if you don't have the booster, you're definitely going to get sick and die. No, that's not how this works. But I digress. For anyone wondering what I am drinking on this week's episode, this is a bottle of my home-brewed beer. I don't remember quite what it was. Shows how long ago I brewed it. And I've been just taking my time working my way through it, making good beer last a long time. That's quite tasty. If you haven't tried brewing your own beer, a little labor intensive, but worth doing. Anyways, so it gets back to the issue of Donald Trump. Like I said, with him and his COVID response, it was more turning over the seat of power for the White House in the presidency to unelected bureaucrats with Deborah Birx and Anthony Fauci. And that really what one of those things that bothers me so much. And you look at the chaos and the destruction and the innate harm that has come along with this vaccine rollout. And again, YouTube's not going to like me, but screw them. As the evidence becomes more and more solidified that all these health issues resulted from the vaccine, the spikes in cancer, the spikes in young people having heart attacks that normally don't have heart attacks, especially athletes having heart attacks, people who inherently have good cardiovascular health because of their level of activity. You have, like I said, the spikes in cancer, spikes in heart attacks. The number of people who have, you know, the spikes in pericarditis, all of these other heart ailments that we didn't have before the vaccine. You look at and then you point to all this, look at the harm that has been caused by the vaccine, allegedly. And Donald Trump will not go, you know, maybe I messed up with that. No, he takes full on credit for it. It's the greatest accomplishment of his presidency. Forget the Abrahamic Accords with Israel establishing diplomatic ties with Muslim Arab countries. Saudi Arabia, which for decades has been sending money to Sunni militias around Israel to attack Israel. It's through Donald Trump and his son-in-law, Jared Kushner. They negotiated these accords to open official diplomatic ties and trade with Israel-hating countries like Saudi Arabia, like the UAE, freaking Turkey. But no, one of the greatest attempts to bring about peace throughout the Middle Eastern region, that is like one of the greatest accomplishments, because no one ever thought there'd be any sort of diplomatic agreements between Israel and any of those countries. Yet the Trump administration made it happen. That's what he should be standing up on. Those are the kinds of victories Donald Trump should be going, look, this is why you want me. Donald Trump can point to all the saber rattling of Putin during his administration, but never actually went further into Ukraine. He didn't take anything other than the territory that he was already holding. That's one of those victories. Keeping China at bay. Don't get me wrong, the tariffs were horrible for us. You know, when Donald Trump was out there, I'm going to put these tariffs on China, and China's going to pay for this, and we're going to make it very, very costly for China to do business in America. Yeah, that it became more costly for us, kind of like when Barack Obama put the tariffs on washing machines and dryers made in Mexico in order to protect Whirlpool's ability to make the dryers here in the United States. And it ended up running up the cost for a washer or dryer by 10% because of the tariffs. Now, don't get me wrong. I think that, you know, American products you buy in America should be made in America. And I understand why they outsource it to other countries that have a lower cost of labor. I understand that. I understand the financial reasons why corporations outsource to other countries. Because, you know, the cost of living in America causes Americans to kind of deserve a higher pay rate. And so if you're paying those American workers to build the American products, it drives up the cost of the product. But when they're still bringing in the same product that's made in Mexico, because it's already made, you might as well bring it in and sell it, then, yeah, it just turns into a giant mess. But, again, with the failures of Donald Trump on the Second Amendment hasn't been that great. Despite his rhetoric on the Second Amendment, Barack Obama was actually a little bit better. But, you know, with Donald Trump, you have the bump stock bans. You have him advocating for red flag laws. You know, when Donald Trump, after the Parkland shooting, Donald Trump comes out and gives the speech, and he says, take the guns first, then due process. Whoa. Donnie boy, come on. Since when in America has carry out the thing that tramples on your rights before getting an adjudication ever been a thing. Don't point at civil asset forfeiture. I see you over there pointing at the civil asset forfeiture. That is not a good example. I mean, these are the things that make me kind of shy away from Donald Trump. And it's really kind of pushing me to RFK. RFK Jr. has not necessarily been the greatest when it comes to the climate. And I'm saying that from the conservative point of use government money to fix climate. No. And he's had some stances on guns, and he's been campaigning on, he's been campaigning on, I'm not going to take guns, maximum American freedoms. But at the same time, I just don't know. This might be like 2016 when I leave the presidential portion of the ballot blank. Because when you go and you choose between the lesser of the evils, you're still choosing an evil. End of story. But that has just been an absolute mess with Donald Trump and having to choose for him. But like I said, the most pro-war, let's go send American troops, your sons and daughters, to die so that way, Raytheon, Northrop Grumman, all these other major war defense contractors. I'm sorry. War profiteers is a bad look. It's a bad name to call these companies that provide amazing services to our troops and make lots of money from the U.S. government. Yeah. Babylon Bee ran a headline that Raytheon flew their flag at half-mast when Nikki Haley announced her withdrawal. So, yeah, says all you need to know right there. But anyways, also this week, Thursday, was the State of the Union address. A total mess. This was not a State of the Union address. This was Joe Biden's first real televised campaign speech. There's so much. When Donald Trump was Donald Trump, womp, 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 womp. When Joe Biden was giving the speech talking about American freedom and we've never been more secure, that earned the ire of a person who was there as a guest of Congressman Brian Mast. And that would be the father of one of the Marines killed in Kabul when the suicide bomber blew up the Abbey Gate. He stood up and he said, "What about Abbey Gate?" Shouted it. "You are a liar." And he was detained and escorted out and was actually cited. I don't have it with me, what he was actually cited for. Obstruction, or obstructing. It's really dumb. And it will probably be just thrown out because he's issuing a constitutionally protected jeer to the president. Um, it's absolutely ridiculous. When addressing Lakin Riley, who was killed in Georgia over the by the illegal alien, he didn't even get her name right. He called her Lincoln Riley. And then he comes out after because he said he used the words illegal immigrant. And the left just went apey over it. They started throwing 50. Oh my God, Joe Biden called the killer an illegal alien. No one's illegal! You give me an illegal person! And then Joe Biden apologizes for calling the killer of Lakin Riley an illegal alien. A legal term in United States law. An alien being a foreigner. Illegal meaning that alien came here in ways that circumvented the law. And lefties are going crazy. Because how dare he call this sweet, innocent man who caved in a woman's skull an illegal alien? Where are we in society that calling someone what they are is morally wrong? I mean, when are they gonna, I mean, we're at the point where pedophiles, oh my God, you can't call them a pedophile anymore. Calling them a pedophile is wrong. You must call them a minor attracted person. I'm sorry, if I'm introduced to someone who says they are a minor attracted person, I will probably be calling 811 and having a place for a hole checked out to make sure there's nothing there that would prohibit digging a hole. Just in case I need to put in a root cellar and then fill it right back in. Because these things happen. You decide you want to dig a root cellar, so you get it marked out. Make sure there's no gas lines, underwater lines, water lines, power lines under the ground. Make sure that it's clear. That way when you decide that, you know, the minor attracted person wants to help me dig the root cellar, you can get it dug, and then you change your mind and fill it back in and go home. Yeah, don't ask me where the minor attracted person went. I haven't seen them since they came over to help me dig the hole. They just vanished. Weird. But that being said, we're told we can't call a spade a spade. And I know there's going to be someone who's like, oh my God, a spade, that's racist. No, it's looking at a playing card that has a spade on it and going, ah, that card is a spade. Looking at a shovel that has a spade-like shape on the end of it for digging holes. Wow, I'm really stuck on digging holes tonight. Weird. Looking at the bit on that shovel going, that is a spade versus a square bit shovel. Ugh. We're so dumb these days. It's ridiculous. Anyways, I'm going to take a quick break, and then I shall be right back, or something, maybe. I don't know. I'm going crazy here. All right, so before I get back into it, let me tell you about one of my other favorite beverages besides these wonderful, wonderful bottles of whiskey above my head, and that would be coffee. Yes, that's right, coffee. and the finest coffee that I keep in my collection, considering I drink a lot of coffee. I have coffee from a lot of different places. And I've got one of those really fancy Nestle machines that makes the espresso. I've got, you know, the big box coffee. I've got some other small roasters. But my favorite coffee of all of them comes from a little roaster in South Central Iowa by the name of American Pride Roasters. Yes, that's right. American Pride Roasters is the finest coffee in all of my collection, with great flavor profiles, great flavor blends to really start your day off right. Or if you're like me, to end your day, because you drink too much coffee and a cup of it before bedtime actually helps you go to sleep. Check out all the amazing flavors. If you like flavored coffee, you know, you like the chocolate flavors, or, ooh, pardon me, coffee's not agreeing with the beer. You know, you like flavored coffees like raspberry and chocolate. Well, if that's up your alley, maybe it's the Ron's Sexual Chocolate you want to try. Maybe you like macadamia nuts. Macadamia nuts are great, have a great flavor. It really adds to the flavor of coffee. Check out the At the Mic Roast. You know, named after the podcast, my good friend Keith Malinak, At the Mic. Or if you're like me and you just like plain, old-fashioned, straight-up coffee, there are so many great blends of that. Huge fan of the Calvin Coolidge, the Teddy Roosevelt, the Frederick Douglass, Washington Crossing the Delaware. These are all great flavors of coffee. Or maybe you want a little sweet tooth and caffeine kick, check out the coffee drops they have. A lot of great stuff to choose from there at aprcoffee.com. Check them out today. American Pride Roasters, historically great coffee. All right, so this isn't really a political thing. It's more of a cultural thing. And I think cultural stuff is as important to call out as the politics stuff, because, you know, politics are downstream from culture. And it's like one of the dumbest stories I've read. But it has to do with a girl in Alabama. She is a huge TikTok person. She does videos of her fishing. She's been doing videos of her helping her dad and her, I think her brother, renovate a house. She's being good old-fashioned Alabama countrywoman, not afraid to get her hands dirty and look good while she's doing it. Well, with some people, that just doesn't sit right. I have to come over here because, you know, this is on my phone. Do-do-do. If I can go to the right app. All right, so. So there's a former beauty contestant. Her name is Samira Khan. She's a woman of Lebanese descent. She's a former beauty contestant. She was worked with Bernie Sanders. I think the campaign's what this said. But now she's a journalist, and she takes up issue with, you know, she calls herself an anti-woke social media commentator, yet she's as judgy as all the wokies. So this is from Paul Saka at The Blaze. Former beauty contestant turned journalist and political commentator ignited a firestorm by attacking a TikTok fishing star for her southern accent and interest in construction. Samira Khan is a former Bernie Sanders supporter and now an anti-woke social media commentator. Khan was a Washington correspondent for the Kremlin-backed RT. Yeah, she worked for Russia Today. but had gotten into a little trouble with the Russian media outlet in 2018 after she posted memes praising Joseph Stalin's gulags that the state news network deemed as uninformed and misguided. Khan claims she resigned from RT a week before the controversy. I'm sure she did. Well, she sparked outrage again this week when she attacked an outdoor social media influencer and American women in general. Khan denigrated Hannah Barron, an Alabama-based social media star known for her content revolving around hunting, fishing, and firearms. Barron is known as the Catfish Girl for her skills at noodling, the act of catching fish with only one's bare hands. Barron has over 2.1 followers on TikTok, 1.4 million on Instagram, and more than 744,000 subscribers on the YouTubes. Khan reposted a TikTok video from Barron's TikTok account. Oh my God. Why do we have to say TikTok, 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 TikTok 500 freaking times? But I digress. Showing Hannah doing a tour of a house being constructed by Barron, her father and, oh, her boyfriend. Khan mocked Barron, an American woman, by saying, "This accent needs to be illegal, and women should be banned from doing manual labor like this. There is nothing feminine about American women. American women are literally men." No, they're just better than you, who's never, ever, ever in your life had to get your hands dirty to do a damn thing. I'm sorry, because my mom knows how to change a tire on a car. She suddenly is not feminine enough. Because my mom is willing to get on her hands and knees and turn up dirt in the garden. She's not a real woman, because my mom has never had an issue with helping skin deer, process deer, butcher deer. Because I've seen her gut a fish and fillet it out just as well as my dad. She is suddenly less feminine because, you know, she has skills that you don't. She has skills that you refuse to have. Because she can do more than just sit in her she shed and quilt. My mom is suddenly less womanly than whatever it is you do, because you could put on makeup, stand in a dress, be skinny and pretty. I'm sorry. I think my mom has way more to offer than your dumbass, Samira Khan. She added, Lebanese women are literally perfect, and they are actually feminine, unlike the estrogen-deficient American women who hold the record for highest testosterone levels in the world. Khan then posted a video of Barron noodling with the caption, "High-value American men should become passport bros. Don't they deserve better than the filth they are limited to in their own country? Like, do you agree or disagree? What are your thoughts?" A former beauty pageant contestant wrote on her X account with over 232,000 followers that the United States is under a tomboy occupation. Khan claimed that any man attracted to Hannah would be embarrassed to be seen with her in public. I'm sorry. I really want to go through her social media. I want to see, does she have a man? Does she have a boyfriend, a significant other? Is she engaged? Is she married? I mean, what man wants to be attached for any length of time to someone this vapid, narcissistic, and self-centered that they can't view that anyone else who doesn't live the life like they live it is worth having the life to live? The post on social media platform triggered an immediate backlash from netizens. Netizens. It's funny. Conservative political activist Lauren Witzke. These kind of women give birth to sons who could conquer any Middle Eastern country overnight. Nice. Don't hate on white Southern women. Spike Cohen, who he was the VP candidate for Libertarian Party in 2020. We need to stop all immigration and people who agree with Samira until we can figure out what the hell is going on. I agree with Spike. That's a good idea. Writer Emily Zanotti. I knew we would get to, if you like women, you are literally gay. Eventually, I just didn't anticipate it would be this quickly. Idiot. If you want a homestead, your lady is going to need to do more with her hands than feed a sourdough starter. LOL. One of my favorite people on TikTok, Melanie Mack. She wrote this, adorable Southern girl who enjoys renovating and fishing. Jealousy ain't cute. And this sweet young woman you're trying to drag looks like she's living her best life and likely has no issues whatsoever with prospects. It's great. And then we're getting into British commenter. Helen Pluckrose. Men will not hear you, Samira. They will be too busy falling in love with a woman who manages to combine a stunning figure, charisma, energy, and an appreciation for construction likability and a warm Southern accent. I'm half in love with her myself. Nice. When the Brits are calling out this twat, it's excellent. It's hilarious. This is literally where we're... Oh, my God. I set my phone on my board and it hit a button. I apologize. It scared the bejeebus out of me. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what live streaming looks like. And this is what live recording looks like when you hit buttons on accident and it starts making weird noises. But this is where we've gotten to in society. I mean, for a long time, we've had an issue of what should the proper man be? What should the proper woman be? Now, I'm not going to come out and denigrate Samira just on... Well, okay, I kind of am. I kind of have already. Because it seems like she's not much more than a useful idiot with a pretty face. Sure, she can go out there and she can spout whatever propaganda RT wants her to spout. She can go out there and she can advocate on behalf of the only open socialist serving in the Senate. And she can stand around and look pretty, but what can she do? What does she contribute to anybody's betterment? I mean, does she just like pose and, you know, hope that she's getting some sort of rise from, you know, horny teenagers looking at her pictures of anything that's, you know, somewhat revealing? Is that what she's good at? How does that contribute to society?
I contribute to society by like having a pretty face and looking good in the clothes that I wear. And one time I was a beauty pageant contestant, and that's the one thing the judges liked about me is I was willing to accentuate my body and wear clothes and hope they thought I was pretty. I'm sorry. I've seen the tweets from Hannah Baron, and yeah, she's, you know, noodling in a bikini. Granted, there's some she's using her looks and wiles to, you know, draw in views, but yeah, it's the fact that she's not an incredibly, you know, big woman. I'm not saying it's not that she's a fat woman, but she's not, you know, this jacked muscular woman. pulling, you know, 40-pound flathead catfish from a hole somewhere under the water, you know, risking having a finger lopped off by a snapping turtle. You know, and she's doing this. I know grown-ass men who are like, nope, couldn't get made reach into a hole under the water to catch catfish. Mm-mm. There could be turtle in there. There could be cottonmouth. You could find a beaver in that hole and you bite the shit out of you. Apologize for language. I said, I know grown men who won't do it. I've known infantry guys, people who are willing to be shot. Well, I say willing to be shot. Who understand that with being an infantryman, there is a certain inherent risk they can be shot. And they've accepted this risk. This is a better rephrasing. Infantry guys, I've known infantry guys who have been shot, have been blown up. They have the Purple Hearts to prove it. When confronted with the idea of noodling, they're not going to do it because I just said. But, and then being interested in a skill, I guess because she doesn't have a show on Magnolia, because she doesn't have a show on TLC or HGTV where she's, you know, being pretty while building houses or remodeling houses, I guess she doesn't get the benefit of the doubt that, you know, there's more to her than just being pretty. She actually has something that resembles a mind because I've done work on houses and with remodeling and framing. And there's a lot of stuff you have to think about when you do it. You just don't go into it blind. Oh, I will tear it. I will knock this wall out. So she's demonstrating that she has an ability to, you know, have a vision on how she wants the house to look. She has the wherewithal to not just hire out somebody to do it. It's her dad and her boyfriend who are doing the work. I'm sorry. I find that more attractive than someone who is just like, oh my God, if a woman does anything with her hands, she's like a tomboy. I mean, look at me. I just have to stand here and be pretty and run my mouth on occasion, and I am so much better. I could not have anything to do with that kind of vapid, ugh, not at all. This is more of what we've seen forever, where any kind of manual labor, regardless of who does it, whether it's a man doing manual labor, you know, welding, construction work, working in a factory, doing jobs that need to be done, and not afraid to get dirty doing it. Yeah, this is just more denigration of that. That this whole idea, you know, this is feminism gone awry. Because, you know, feminists for years, you know, Annie, get your gun, man. Anything you can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you. That used to be what feminism was. And that now we're at the point where if you are a woman and you are doing what a man does, you're being denigrated. If you are being Samira Khan and the only thing you're contributing to society is looking pretty in fancy clothes, you're denigrated for it. But, you know, they there's these people who still expect women that, you know, oh my God, the only thing you should be doing is standing around and being pretty and waiting on your husband hand and foot and just being just like a little sex kitten for them or whatever. No. I'm sorry, I love my wife. I don't want my wife to be that one who just waits on me hand and foot and is the stereotypical post-war 1950s housewife. Even when she was a stay-at-home mom, you know, that was a choice she made. It wasn't something I expected of her. When she was being a stay-at-home mom, she was still like, hey, I've got to do this, 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 this. And she wasn't just whatever it is Samira Khan expects women to be. When she was homeschooling kids, she was teaching, she was cooking, she was, you know, when I was deployed, she was out mowing the grass. She was being what, she was being everything that Samira Khan thinks is bad about American women. I'm sorry, if you, Samira Khan, if you're Lebanese and you just hate American women so much and you hate what they have become, I've got this perfect suggestion for you. Go to your closest international airport, take your passport, and you buy a ticket for anywhere else in the world. And then GTFO, just get the freak out. Go away. Go on. Go back to Lebanon. I mean, if the women in Lebanon are so much better, and life is so much better in Lebanon with women living the way you think Lebanese women should live, go there. Forget the fact that Hezbollah likes to blow crap up. Forget the fact that outside of certain parts of Beirut, it is a massive crap hole. Just go back. Shoo, go on. Bye-bye. We don't need you here, Samira. We don't need someone who has nothing better to do than live in a position or have a position in life where is the exact opposite of 90% of the people apparently you support. The left looks at you and you are a joke. You're a great mouthpiece because if people look at you. I don't know how well they listen, but people will look at you. You can at least catch their eyes. But, I mean, you're a class. I mean, you're of the class of that the that the socialists that you support, like Bernie Sanders, hate. You contribute nothing other than staying around being pretty, and you take. There's a show on, there's a show coming out on Showtime that I'm really wanting to watch that's set in Russia post-Soviet Revolution about a guy, he was a socialite, contributed nothing to society. He was a useless eater. And the communists sentenced him to live out the rest of his life in this hotel because you ain't leaving this hotel. You're going to get the food we give you. And since you don't do anything, we're not going to give you the opportunity to do anything because that's what the gentleman does. They don't work. That's what would happen to you, Samira Khan, if the Bernie Sanders of the world were in power. you would be declared a useless eater. And you'd either be sent to a labor camp where, guess what? You will work. And if you won't work voluntarily, you will work. Or you're going to find out how to do a skill pretty damn quick if you want to avoid being stuck in a hotel for the rest of your life. Living on whatever the socialist people are willing to give you. Because they're socialists. If they don't believe your existence is for the greater good of their society, yeah, they won't have a problem making sure you're not part of the greater society. It's what they do over and over again throughout history. Check it out, Samira. It might be useful to learn something. Get some knowledge between those pretty little ears that were all the rage during your time as a beauty contestant. And maybe just expect the tomboy women of America. Don't worry. They'll continue to provide for your meaningless existence. All right, that's going to wrap it up. Awesome tonight. Hopefully this is good enough to be on YouTube. It's kind of glitchy. Someone pointed out in the live stream that maybe it's a router issue, needs a reset, but it's hard to reset the router in the middle of a live stream because then you end up losing your stream. But it be what it be. This is always on the old podcast platforms. That's fine. It's fine too. Again, thank you so much for listening. It's been great having you join along, whether you're watching live, watching on the YouTubes or the Rumbles. If you're listening to this on podcast, it's your first time checking it out. Please follow, subscribe, whatever you're podcast platform of choice happens to be. Once you've done that, second thing I ask every week is you please rate it. Looking for 5 stars? I'll accept 4, 3 and below. Yeah, we need to have a conversation. DM me on Twitter at @FakeTylerMorgan and you can explain why it's 3, 2, or 1 star, and your comments are well-reasoned and constructive. I will greatly appreciate it regardless of whatever rating you give me, because, you know, I want to make the show better. Constructive criticism is always great. If you're just being a jerkwad, I will ignore you. Once you have rated it, please write a review, say something nice about the show, maybe fluff a little. Don't get carried away with it, because no one likes overly fluffed reviews. And, if you do have some critiques and criticisms, please be kind. If you're a jerk, I will make fun of you because, you know, it's what I do. I like making fun of people who think they're trying to troll me because I'm better than you. Just a fact of life. Anyways, once you have subscribed, rated, reviewed, please share this episode with someone who you think will enjoy it. Send it to someone who you think this will drive absolutely nuts. I spent the first half hour talking about Donald Trump and hating Joe Biden. Rah! Send me to that person. Send the show to that person. It will be great. Send it to David French. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. David French would have an absolute... he'd just ignore it. Let's face it. He would ignore it. Because, you know, ignoring yahoos like me is a blessing of liberty, an even bigger blessing of liberty than Drag Queen Story Hour. Google David French, Drag Queen Story Hour, Blessings of Liberty. It's great. Again, thank you so much for joining me. I've appreciated y'all hanging out. It's been fun. Until next time, as always, stay relentless.
The Tyler Morgan Show is a Relentless Daring Media production. The Tyler Morgan Show is supported by its listeners. To support the show, go to ko-fi.com/Tyler Morgan Show to donate there, or relentlessdaring.com and hit the donate button at the top of the page to set up your donation. All music used in The Tyler Morgan Show is used with permission from purpleplanet.com. Link in the show notes. 2 Timothy 1:7.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.